Hi, I'm Chad Roberts, and I want to welcome you to this edition of Awakened to Grace. Today we are in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14, and I love these scriptures. The reason I love these scriptures is because we're going to see the stark contrast between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going to see that if the blood of animals was sufficient for the covering of sins under the old covenant, then how much more is the blood of Christ sufficient to remove our sins under the new covenant? Friends, our sins are not simply covered. No, they are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And today we're going to see it crystal clear in the Word of God. That's why I love teaching the Bible. Even though I'm a blind pastor, I love to show the clarity. I love to teach with clarity the vision of God's Word. And you know, you don't have to have physical eyesight to see that, do you? No, we see with spiritual eyes. Why? Because God has opened the eyes of our hearts, Ephesians 1. Well, friends, we're going to go to God's Word today. I'm glad you're studying along with us. Let's enjoy this section of the book of Hebrews in this greater series called An Anchor for the Soul.
Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. If you were with us last Sunday, you know we could not go very far. I don't know if I have ever preached from one word of the text an entire sermon, but we did last week, and it was the beautiful word Christ. And it just filled, it filled my heart, but it filled the whole day. And we just couldn't get past it. I had much more to say. I had planned last week to do verses 11 and 12. But we just couldn't get past the word Christ. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord's doing in our midst right now. How many of you know, and perhaps you will identify with this, how many of you know that it's often before your greatest breakthrough, it's often before your greatest victory that Satan fights you the hardest? Can anyone testify on that? It is before your greatest breakthrough. And let me tell you, I don't know if in 23 years of pastoring now, I have felt spiritual warfare the way I felt it here lately. And I know, church, I know, we are on the cusp of breakthrough. Yes. I know that. I believe many of you are in that area. I believe many of you have faithfully prayed and you faithfully trusted God and you've walked with God and you've believed God to do great things in your family. You've believed for healings and you've believed for miracles. You've believed for salvations. You've believed for deliverances. And let me tell you right now, God, the scripture says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. There isn't anything that has changed about God's character. There isn't anything that has changed about God's abilities. There isn't anything that has changed about God's love for you. Amen? Amen? I was listening to that song they were playing as the countdown was going, and boy, it just ministered to me, and it said, check your shame at the door, because it ain't welcomed here anymore. Amen? Amen? There's no place for that. And what we're going to see today out of the Word of God is why you as a believer, why you as a Christ follower can lift your head today. Amen? and not live in a place of shame, and not live in a place of regret, not live in these areas of mistakes, not live in all of this negativity that Satan would love for you just to camp out in that valley of negativity. No, God has much greater for you. Amen? And you know how I know that? I know that by the text that we're going to study today. And let me tell you, Satan has quite a short playbook. And one of the pages out of his playbook is that he's an accuser of the brethren. That means that when you falter, that means that when you fail, that means that when you mess up, that means that when you sin and you know that you have offended the Lord and the Holy Spirit within you, let me tell you, Satan will try to get you to stay right there. But that's not God's will for you. For see, the scriptures say that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ who entered into the holy place once for all that we're going to see today. Thus, he secured an eternal redemption for us. And if the blood of goats and bulls, and if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, if that can sanctify to the cleansing of the outward, then how much more will the blood of Christ purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Oh, there's going to be some spiritual ribeye served today. There is going to be plenty to feast on out of the Word of God today. Let's jump into it. Hebrews chapter 9. So this is where we were last week when Christ, verse 11, but when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have come. Now remember, what have we said about the book of Hebrews? Like those beautiful days, early in the morning, some days you can see the moon while the sun is rising, but the moon is quickly going to fade and give way to the sun. That's what's happening in the book of Hebrews. The church is rising. Judaism has become obsolete. The old covenant, the Mosaic economy, is becoming obsolete. What pointed to Christ all throughout the Old Testament were types, were shadows of the substance to come. They were shadows, but Christ is the reality. And now a new day has dawned. And now there is a new covenant. And what have we said? The word new there in the Greek does not mean new as in it is going to vanish away, or it's going to lose its newness, or it's going to be one day replaced by something else. No, it's not new as in the sense of time. It's new in the sense of quality. It is a better covenant. It is far superior than the old. Christianity is far better than the religion of Judaism. Why? Because Judaism were types and shadows. Christianity is the substance, which is Christ. Therefore, we argue Christianity is far deeper than a religion. If you want religion today, I'm going to show you in the text why religion can't save you. Religion can cleanse the outward. Oh, you can look good today. You can look like you're at peace with God today. You can look like you have everything right today. You can look like you got your life all together today. But what looks on the outside is not always what's in the inside. And Christ said of the religious people of his day, you have washed the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is filthy. And that's where many people are today, sitting in churches, watching online, going about their daily routine, going about their daily lives. Everything looks squeaky clean on the outside, but nothing's ever been dealt with on the inside. Friends, that is religion. And religion cannot save. Only the blood of Christ. So let's watch it break down today. So he says, when Christ appeared as the high priest, we have spent weeks explaining the order of Melchizedek and why Christ is a high priest and why there's not a need today for earthly men to serve as priests when we have he who may ever lives to make intercession for us, Christ the high priest. There's no need for priests today. Christ fulfills that. So he became high priest of the good things that have come. What are the good things? The realities. No longer shadows, no longer types, but the real substance. The good things that have come. How did he come? Through a greater and more perfect tent. Now, remember, at the beginning of chapter 9, several weeks ago, we explained every aspect of the tabernacle that it laid out for us. All the furnitures, all of the sections, all of the materials that the tabernacle was constructed of, the size of the tabernacle. We tried to go deep into what the Old Testament tabernacle was. And remember what the scriptures teach us in chapter 8. It was simply the pattern of what was the reality in heaven. God showed Moses the real thing in heaven, and he patterned it on the earth made of earthly material. Speaking of Christ, who is now our high priest, what does the writer say? No, Christ came through a greater and more perfect tent. What's he speaking of? His physical body. How do we know this? Because what does John chapter 1 teach us? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came, and what did the Word do? Dwelt among men. Do you realize the Greek word for dwelt is tabernacled? Christ came to tabernacle with us. I believe it's Hebrews chapter 5. This is what is meant when God said that it was the tabernacle, the tent that no man pitched, but God pitched. What was that? That was the virgin birth of Christ. That was the fact. What does he mean? The greater, the more perfect tent. What does it mean? Not of this creation, not made of human hands. Friends, that's the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he became a near kinsman redeemer to us. That he came to redeem us. That he came to buy us. That he came to save us. But it was not a work of man's hand. Joseph had nothing to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit alone. Therefore, because Christ was virgin born, not of the seed of man, he was not tainted by Joseph's DNA within him. He was able to be spotless, without blemish, we're going to see in verse 13. He was without sin. See, how is it that Christ could live such a sinless life, tempted in all points as we are tempted, yet without sin, the scriptures say? How was that? Because, friends, he was a greater and more perfect tent, not made of human hands, virgin born, not of this creation. He did not have sin's nature within him. That's why I am of the conviction when he encountered Satan in the wilderness and he was faced with those great temptations, all of heaven was not watching Christ be subjected to Satan's temptations, and all of heaven wasn't going there saying, is Christ going to make it? Is he going to be all right? Yes. Do you know why Christ went through the temptation? To teach us how to deal with it. To teach us how to deal with the devil. His success or failure was never in doubt, never in question. Why? Because he doesn't have a sinful nature about him. He was virgin born, therefore he lived a sinless life. So you understand verse number 11. Christ was a greater and a more perfect tent than the tabernacle itself. Why? Because it was pitched by God. And I believe that's Hebrews 5, verse maybe 2. You'll have to fact check me on that. If not, Google it and you'll find it. And then tell me so I'll get it right. So he came, a greater, more perfect tent. And then look what it said, once he accomplished that work within his flesh. What do we say the outer court of the tabernacle represented? The days of Christ's flesh. That's in Hebrews as well. What did he accomplish? We'll look at verse number 12. He entered into the holy place. What's the holy place? Was it where the Ark of the Covenant sat on earth? No. Do you remember what happened when he cried out, "It is finished"? Do you remember what happened? See, we're getting ready to celebrate that on Friday for Good Friday. Do you remember what happened the moment he yelled out, "It is finished"? The veil of the temple, it was ripped from top clear through the bottom. Now that's substantial. That means that access to God that had been denied for centuries upon centuries was now granted. Why? Because Christ presented his blood once for all. Now see, that's in stark contrast to religion. That's in stark contrast to Judaism. See, they had to present the blood of goats and bulls. They had to do that once a year for the Day of Atonement, every year without failure, in order to appease the wrath of God against sin. But see, Christ, who was the perfect sacrifice, who was sinless, who was without spot, who was without blemish, because Christ presented his own blood. Let me tell you, here's what the scriptures say. It is once for all, never to be repeated ever again. What a victory. And what is the conclusion the author of Hebrews says to such an act of presenting his own blood in the holy place? Thus securing an eternal redemption. Now, I want you to think about that. Now, say amen if you're with me right now. Let me tell you where I had the opportunity to go some years ago. Have you ever heard of the island called Zanzibar? I didn't go to Zanzibar to vacation. I took about a 2-hour speedboat ride in the Indian Ocean to get to Zanzibar. And I didn't take swimming trunks, and I didn't take snorkeling gear, and I didn't take suntan lotion. I didn't go to vacation. I went there to preach and to encourage pastors. I knew what I was walking into in Zanzibar because I knew the Muslim population and I knew the persecution of Christians on that island. It's off of the east coast of Africa near Tanzania. I'd been doing a pastor's conference in Tanzania, and we decided to go and encourage pastors in Zanzibar and was invited by them. What I was not prepared for when I went to Zanzibar is, while I had studied a great deal about the persecution there, I didn't know that Zanzibar used to be the hub of the African slave trade. And they took me to the area where so many families were ripped apart and Africans were sold into slavery into Europe and the Middle East and ultimately into America. I wasn't prepared for it. They took me to this massive concrete pit. And you can Google it. You can take your phone right now and just Google Zanzibar slave pit. And they had these stone replicas of slaves down in this pit, men, women, and children. And what I wasn't prepared for is they had the original iron chains that were on the slaves, around their necks, around their hands and their feet. It physically, literally, physically made me sick. And I'm watching this pit where men would come and offer cash and they would buy slaves. And I thought to myself, I thought, God, if I had lived in that time period, would to God that I would bring cash and I would buy their freedom. That's what I would hope. And I'm watching this and I'm thinking deeply and it's disturbed me and I still have the images in my mind and I remember how I felt watching it. And the Holy Spirit asked me something that day. The Holy Spirit said, Chad, could you even put yourself in that pit? I mean, can you really imagine what it would be to have those rusty chains about your neck? And then I felt like the Holy Spirit asked me, could you imagine, Chad, could you even imagine a pastor or a missionary coming along and saying, I'll take him and I'll purchase him. And when those chains come off your neck and you meet the man who purchased you and he said, congratulations, you have your freedom. Go live your life. Go glorify God. The Lord said, could you ever even fathom that when nighttime comes, you slip off and you go back down into that slave pit and you take those shackles and you put them back around your neck? Could you even imagine it? And I'm standing here and I'm watching this and I'm going, no, Lord, no, I could not imagine it. And the Lord said, then let me teach you something. See, I knew. Do you know what the word for redemption means? Redemption means to buy back. It means to go to the slave market and to purchase freedom. It means to say, I will take you and I will buy you back out of slavery. That's what redemption means. And do you know what this scripture says? That Christ has secured for us an eternal redemption. Forever buying us back from the grasp, from the grip of the enemy. For Timothy teaches you and I were ensnared by Satan to do his will. Thus, we were delivered. We were transferred out of the domain of darkness into the kingdom of glorious light. But do you know what Galatians teaches? Chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians teaches in chapter 5, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Huh. Therefore, do not entangle yourself. Excuse me. The ESV says, do not submit again to a yoke of bondage. Don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. And the Holy Spirit said, Chad, let me teach you. When you embrace sin, when you love sin, when you choose sin, after I have bought you back, after I have redeemed you, do you know what you're doing? You're crawling back down into the pit and you're putting the shackles back on. How could you do that? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Can we say amen today? He has secured, thus, he secured an eternal redemption. Now look what it's going to say. Not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. But by means of his own blood. For look at verse number 13. What does it say? For if the blood of goats and calves and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, that all goes back into Leviticus and Old Testament law and the way that they were cleansed. And look at the effect. Can sanctify the outward flesh. Now see, it's important, church. Don't lose sight. God's stamp of approval was on Judaism for centuries. God approved. God, by his grace, gave a means of the atonement of sin by animal sacrifice. But see, when Christ came, he, the Lamb of God, he took away the sins of the world. And how did he do it? By presenting his blood to the Father. It forever satisfied the wrath of God concerning sin in our life. And now look what the logic is. Well, then if religion can cleanse the outward, and if God said that was good for Judaism, well, look at verse 14. Then how much more will the blood of Christ, who offered himself through the eternal Spirit, offered himself to God without blemish. So all that goes into Old Testament things. Through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. What will it do? What's the effect? Purify the conscience. See, this is what religion can't do. Religion can make you look good on the outward, but it can never purify within. And there's some of you precious people that you're listening to me today, and all that you've ever had is religion. All that you've ever had is a checking of the boxes. And the more boxes you've tried to check, the yuckier you feel within. And nothing has ever brought peace with God. Nothing has ever cleansed your conscience. Nothing has ever moved you beyond all of your regrets and all of your wounds and all of your hurts. And religion can't do it. It doesn't have the ability to do it. Only the shed blood of Jesus can do it. And until you come to a place where you say, Jesus, apply your blood to my life. Cleanse me without, but oh God, cleanse me within. And until you come to a place of surrender, that you say, I want the blood of Jesus to wash me. Wash my thinking. Wash my emotions, wash my past, wash my failures, wash my present, wash my future. I want the blood of Christ applied to my heart. Amen. And then the logic of the scriptures will become the logic of your life. That if it's good to cleanse the outside, how much more will the blood of Christ cleanse within? That's my question this morning. Have you ever been cleansed within? Have you ever been washed within? You know, there's sometimes when I'm taking a shower and just taking a good hot shower, I'll just say, Lord, don't just let me be cleansed without. Cleanse me within. Do you ever pray that? Cleanse me within. Do you know why it works? Do you know why it is effective? Because how much more will the blood of Christ be effective that's applied to you? Amen. Friends, there's power in the blood. Amen. We better never lose sight of that. You know, technology is going to continue to increase. AI is going to continue to increase. And I don't even think we'll recognize the world we live in 10 years from now, should the Lord not return. But no matter what medical advances do, no matter what technology does, there isn't anything today that can purify you, that can cleanse your conscience, that can cleanse your heart and your mind. Nothing except the blood of Christ. That's why Scripture will never grow old. Amen. Lastly, look what he says. If it cleanses the conscience, if it purifies the conscience of dead works, those old religious things, that checking of the boxes, what's the purpose? To serve the living God. Oh, I love that. If you're going to take notes today, I want you to write down my last point here. You are saved to serve. You are saved to serve. Now, how were you saved? You were saved because Christ presented his blood once for all in the holy place. Thus, he secured for us, for you, for me, he secured for us an eternal redemption. And he didn't do it by means of religion. He did it by his own blood, not the blood of goats or calves. Then how much more effective is his blood over our lives than religion or checking of the boxes or having rituals or doing ceremonies or whatever religion says to do? No. We are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for a great purpose. We're saved out of dead works to serve the living God. Are you serving today? Now, listen, I want our church serving in teams because I believe in teams. I think if you want to really, really experience ministry at its best, serve with a team. But hear me, don't limit this right here. I'm not saying just because you're on a team, you're serving God. No. I mean, are you really serving God in your daily walk? Are you really serving God in all that he's blessed you with, and all that he's given you, and all that he's entrusted to you, your health, your time, your abilities, your skill sets, your income? Do you take everything that God has entrusted to you, and do you serve the living God with it? You're saved to serve. I'm saved to serve. You and I will give an enormous accountability one day for everything that God has given us. I want everything I have on the altar of God, and I want to live serving the living God. Let's bow our heads today. Have you been washed within? Have you been cleansed within? Or is your relationship with God no more than religion? Friends, that cannot save you. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. Why don't you apply it today? Why don't you say, Jesus, apply your blood to my life. Perhaps you have been purchased by God, but over time, you, rather than living in freedom, you're living down in the slave pit. Some of you are born again today, but you're in the slave pit. You ought not be there. That's not why Christ saved you. He saved you to serve the living God. So I want to challenge you by the Spirit of God today. Come out of the pit and get to serving. Come out of your sin. Come out of your bondage. Come out of your shackles. Christ has already set you free. He's already purchased you. He's already bought you. Don't submit yourself to a yoke of slavery. Stop submitting to it. Stop submitting to it. You know, we talked last week about the anointing of God destroys the yoke. And we talked about how so often, you know, because we don't feel different, we don't think God's working. Because we don't feel this or feel that. No, child of God, you've got to fight. You've got to go to war. You have to do spiritual warfare. And this week, you're bound up in addiction today. You may not feel free, but what you need to begin doing is you need to begin confessing freedom and saying, I'm going to fight this sin, and I'm not going to accept it in my life. I'm going to walk in the freedom God has set me free in. You bound with all this negativity and you can't even see straight because all you see is the negative. You need to fight that and say, no, I'm coming out of this slave pit. I'm not going to be bound to that. No, Christ has set me free. Some of you battle anxiety and it's all you can do because you battle it. Let me tell you, God has set you free. You say, Chad, but you don't know my situation. No, but I know the scriptures. And the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. So you need to take that sword, child of God. And you need to say, listen, it's not about my circumstance. It's not about what I'm in right now. It's not about my family background. It's not about, no, what it's about the truth of God's word. And it says, be anxious for nothing. And I'm coming out of the pit. I'm not going to submit myself to this yoke anymore. And so many of us, we wait until we feel something. We wait until our desire changes. We wait until, but no, child of God, the scriptures teach you have to crucify the flesh. You have to war against your flesh. You want to walk in the Spirit? Put to death what is earthly in you. Put to death what is fleshly in you. And then you'll walk in the Spirit. Come out of the pit today. See, Christ has done what no person could ever do. He has secured. He has secured an eternal redemption for you.
You're listening to Awakened to Grace with Chad Roberts. This ministry is supported by Awakened Partners. Download our free bundle of spiritual resources at chadroberts.org.